the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Well, there's a sense in which, as the Jews, in the 1940s, what they think of Hitler deciding what was good and what was evil. I tell you, there's something that belongs to God and only God, my friend. Yes? And all the horror when man took that which belonged only to God and should have left with God and took it on himself. And that's what's at the heart of it, isn't it? And Satan said it. In the day you eat it, you shall be like God. Why didn't the man trust God to take care of the problem of what his wife had done in eating that which she was commanded not to? Man had a choice, didn't he? And the choice really at the elementary level was man either took life into his own hands, man took his own destiny into his own hands, thinking he could do better for himself, thinking he could govern himself better than God could. Thinking he loved himself and had his own best interest at heart to a greater degree than God himself did. That was the issue of sin. Would man keep himself under the government of God and leave it with God and hand his problem over to God and let God fix it and trust that he'd be satisfied with God's solution? Or would man take that which belonged only to God? Governmental authority. Yes? And crown himself his own Lord and govern his own life. In the New Testament, the definition for sin, John says, is this. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness. What does that mean? It means this. Sin is a condition or a heart that will not be governed. That's what it means. Sin is lawlessness. Will not be brought under government. What is the root of sin? It is unbelief. Yeah? When man disobeyed God, man gave up his confidence in God. Yeah? Gave up his confidence in God, and because he gave up his confidence in God, he took his own life into his own hands. Again, I repeat, look at the world over and see the consequences of man deciding he can be the one who determines what is good and what is evil. And by the way, that's what evolution will lead you to. Evolution says, there is no God. I am God. And now I am God, and so I what? Well, I determine what is what. Right and what is wrong. There's only one worthy of that. And his name is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let me put it this way. Government, God's principles in government, the character of God's government, our responsibility to be true representatives of God's government. You will never obey if you don't trust. Let me repeat it. The New Testament calls it the obedience of faith. It is impossible to obey without trust. Unless you are convinced in your heart that the one who commands you and governs you has your interest at heart, and that every exercise of his government is taking your blessedness and well-being into account, no matter what it costs him. Unless you're convinced of that, you cannot totally what? Open. The New Testament says it this way, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, It is impossible. It is what? Impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is one. Which means he is. Well, we started our message with it. God is good. Yes. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder. Rewarder of them that diligently seek. Obedience is impossible without trust. And trust can never be established unless you are convinced that the one who governs you, well now the word is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting. Three elements this in government. How does God gain our obedience? Why is it that Adam failed in obedience? What is at the heart of sin? Unbelief. Giving up our confidence in God. How does God reestablish his government over people in our life? Again, the principle. Obedience impossible without trust. And the foundation of trust is the settled, proven love of the one who is Lord God. Was God limited back here in Eden? Well, God forbid that I should ever limit God. But you know, there are things that God himself cannot do. And yet I want to be careful in how I speak because I feel I am on holy ground. But you know, God couldn't save you from heaven. Yeah? God couldn't save you without giving up his Son. Father, if it be possible, it wasn't possible. And so even in our thinking, we must be careful, mustn't we? God, well, there are limitations. Tell me, how do you prove love? And how do you settle love? Well, the Bible says the first creation declared the glory of God. But if you would ever know the love of God, insinuated as it was in the first creation, well, Adam could never know it till you, like you and I do. For the love of God is declared at a place called hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why did he give it? We were sinners through and through. For verily, for a righteous man, someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a place for God to reveal and settle his love. The Lord Jesus said, if I had not come, and done among them the works that no other man did, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. In times past, said Paul in Acts 17, God winked at man's ignorance. But now, after Calvary, God commanded all men everywhere to repent. Oh, what love. The love of God displayed at Calvary's cross. Settled forever. That rebel creatures like you and me might turn and might willingly say, what a fool I am to go my own way. What a fool I am to be a sheep without a shepherd. Oh God, I come to trust. I want to be saved. Because I believe that he loved me and he gave himself for me. Blessed be the name of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what wondrous love settled at Calvary's love. God's tactic in how he gets a sinner to turn from him. We come to the end of Genesis 3. And there I close with these thoughts. The moment Adam sinned, what did he do? What did he do? He hid. Hid from who? Hid from God. And now you have in Genesis 3, God coming out. Adam! Where are you? And Adam is hiding. How could God ever get man to come out of hiding? How could God ever get man to come out and face him? Admit who he is. Admit what he is. Stop lying. Stop hiding. And face God soon. Another question comes in. At that moment that Adam sinned in Genesis 3, why didn't God put an end to it? Brother, this morning, I believe, as the Lord's Supper says, here we are this morning, and you could have put an end to the whole thing and started all over again. But you didn't. Well, why didn't he? Well, there's a sentence. If he had, he would have lost. He would have lost. Because it was his desire that I should be before him. Where? In love. Remember when you were little and you started a little painting? Tried to draw a horse. I always had such problems drawing horses. I wanted to draw horses. I never could. At some point, it looked so weird. Had a big behind, an ugly leg or something, you know. Couldn't get the face just right. And, you know, I erased it. Yes. And drew the line again. And I erased it again. And, well, then I did it again. But after so many failures, took it and I crumpled it up, threw it away. Well, you know, I lost. I lost. I was defeated through and through. And if I wanted a horse, I would have had to, what? Start all over. But that first one I started, that was lost. Well, God wouldn't move. And this is the wonder, isn't it? Why didn't he end it all then? When the first man sinned, why the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and billions and billions more of sins? And if it was a wonder he didn't end the whole thing then, well, tell me, why didn't he end the whole thing when they mocked his son? And they said to him, if you are the Son of God, you claim it. Come down. And if you come down, we'll believe. And he didn't come down. Tell me, why didn't he end it then when we took his son and nailed him to a cross? And if the wonder that God didn't end it at Adam's sin, well, if it marvels your heart, and it does many people, how can a God be a loving God and allow so much pain? Yeah. If you wonder why God didn't put an end to it at Adam, well, look at Calvary and ask yourself, why didn't he put an end to it there? And the answer is, God would not be defeated. And he wills that none should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. Blessed be the name of our God, our Creator. He is the one come into our world as one of us, died on that cross under the penalty of our sins, that we might know his tremendous love, that we intelligently and willfully might put our trust in a God who loves so much. I can trust him no matter what he brings. Blessed be the name of our God, who has established our confidence and trust in Himself by giving His Son for us. Our Father, we give Thee thanks for the wonder of how Thou hast brought us out of hiding, brought us to admit our sin, own up to what we are. Faith be as holy. Faith be as the one who rightfully had the right to destroy us. And yet know that Thou would say, even to us like Thou didst say to that woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. We give thee thanks, our Father. And we humbly bow to thee, giving thee thanks for bringing us into thy dominion and government.